step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
For the most part, we were good kids back in high school. We never hit up the big parties and we never got in trouble, and usually spent most of our weekends just hanging in the basement playing board games or just sitting around in the backyard. On one specific night, I had a bunch of people over to my house, more people than usual. It was a beautiful night and we were all sitting outside just chatting and enjoying each other's company. When it started to get dark out, my one friend suggested that we play Manhunt, which for anyone who doesn't know is just basically hide and seek for adults. It's usually played in teams. I made sure that I partnered up with Sarah. At the time I was crushing on her hard and I thought this type of game was the perfect chance to spend some alone time with her. I lived in a small suburban town and everyone on my street knew each other. We would play Manhunt a lot, so the neighbors knew if they saw us running through the yard that it wasn't a big deal. Now I know that seems insane to some people, but coming from a town as small as mine, it really wasn't an issue. People were just a lot more trusting back then, I guess. Sarah also liked me at the time, so we successfully partnered up as everyone else partnered up. And once we had all of our teams, we drew straws to see who the seekers were first. It wasn't us. I was so excited and a little nervous to be alone on such a dark night with Sarah. The two seekers went to the garage and started counting to 100. All the hiders scattered through the street and started to look for spots. And to make the game more interesting, we added a little wrinkle, you know. Instead of making it back to a safe location, inside the garage was a small flag that each team would have to retrieve. Once they retrieved it and successfully hid, the seeking team would lose. It was like a hybrid version of hide and seek and capture the flag. There were small rules as well, but they're not very important. I noticed some of my friends starting to head into the backyards of some of the houses, and that's where most of the good spots were, so, of course, they would look there first. I suggested that we stay in front of the houses because they would look there last.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Sarah was all giggles and laughter and just agreed with whatever I said. And towards the end of the street was a smaller house. An older man lived there alone. His wife had passed away about 5 years ago. It's sad, but he really was a nice guy. And after she passed, he would go fishing a lot and would spend most of his time on or near the water. And for whatever reason, though, on this night, his boat was parked on the trailer in the driveway of his house. I pointed to it and suggested to Sarah that hiding underneath it would be an awesome place to hide. She agreed and we crawled underneath this massive fishing boat. While we were hiding under the boat, we were lying close together and just whispering some small talk. She said she was cold and she started to cuddle up to me. I remember thinking that this night couldn't get any better. A few minutes later, we heard footsteps running by and they stopped a few feet from the edge of the boat. We covered our mouths and tried to conceal our laughter. The person standing outside the boat started to shout in a bit of a whisper,
"Hurry up!"
And then suddenly another pair of footsteps could be heard running by the side of the boat. The voice was strange and I didn't recognize it, but I just guessed that my friend was trying to lower his voice to try and disguise it. The footsteps eventually disappeared into the dark night. And just as Sarah and I were going to make our move to capture our flag, we heard an older man screaming, "Help! Someone help me!" We crawled from underneath the boat, and we were terrified, and the sound of the scream was incredibly disturbing. You could almost feel the pain and sadness in the voice. It was the old man who owned the boat that we were hiding under. Thankfully, he recognized me. He was stuttering and clearly shaken up. After a minute or two, all of our friends emerged from their hiding spots and joined us in the driveway of that poor old man. In a weak voice, the man said,
"I was inside reading a book, and then two large men with masks broke in, stole stuff from my safe, and ran out the front door. I tried to stop them, but they were too big."
And my heart broke for this old man. We ran back to my parents' house and had my mom call the police. They did question Sarah and I, since we had witnessed the two men run by, but we didn't see anything. And I'm not sure if they ever caught those two men. The police think that it was someone who knew the man because his large Doberman didn't even bark when they came in. We kind of just went on with our lives after this, and by the following weekend, we were already hanging out again. I will say, though, we never did play manhunt again. Maybe it was subconscious, or maybe we just outgrew it. The only reason why I'm writing this story now is because this past weekend, my parents reminded me of when we used to play manhunt, and this memory flooded back into my mind. I asked my parents if they knew anything about the story that I didn't, and the only detail that they found out from the old man after that night that we kids didn't know was that the two men were armed heavily. Thinking back on it now is even more scary. Sarah and I were only several feet away from two very dangerous men committing an armed robbery. It was an eye-opening event for me. Even in a quiet suburban neighborhood, the darkest of characters can still lurk in the shadows. I'm from the East Coast, but I went to college at Washington State. I was about as far away as you could be. By my junior year, I looked for any excuse to come home and visit my family. I got my wish when I found out that my aunt and uncle were having a massive family reunion at their farmhouse. I have a big family and we're all super close. My grandparents had 10 children and I'm close to every one of my aunts, uncles, and cousins except for one uncle. All 10 of my grandparents' children got married except for my Uncle Ron, who had spent considerable time in and out of jail. Uncle Ron hasn't been seen for a long time by anybody in the family. My grandma tried to keep in touch with him, but due to his reckless lifestyle, she lost touch. Not by her choice, but because Ron is just some outright jerk. You see, it's a sore subject, so whenever the family gets together, we don't mention him. I flew home for the party and I was thrilled to see that everyone had made the reunion. My aunt and uncle who own the farmhouse are significantly older than all my other aunts and uncles. Other than their children, I'm the oldest of all the cousins. Since there were plenty of children there and I love playing games, I suggested that we all play a big game of hide and seek. All the cousins and children loved the idea, so we actually broke up into teams. My aunt and uncle's property was massive. There were tons of places to hide. My aunt said that anywhere on the property was fair game, just don't go anywhere near the main road. The road wasn't busy, it's just that since it's in the middle of nowhere, where they do have a vehicle drive by, they usually go about 80 miles per hour. When it was my turn to hide, I went into the barn. I was looking around for a cool place to hide, and when I got inside the barn, I remember there was a small loft that you needed a ladder to get to. It wasn't super high and the ladder was really thick and sturdy, so I wasn't worried about anyone getting hurt. As I was approaching the ladder, I noticed something weird. On the ground near the base of the ladder was a bunch of cigarette butts. I know my aunt and uncle didn't smoke, especially not now because my uncle had all sorts of lung issues. I just kind of chalked it up to this weird occurrence. Maybe they had workers there or something at some point and they happened to smoke. Maybe the cousins did, I don't know. I know that's inconsiderate, but I've worked on crews before when smokers would just kind of throw their butts when they were done there. This wasn't really a red flag to me, so I just climbed the ladder, and when I got to the loft, things got even stranger. There was trash among all of the boxes of storage, like literally trash. Empty cans, bags of chips, that type of trash. I thought it was weird because given my aunt and uncle's condition, I knew that they were in no shape to climb this ladder, I continued to investigate the loft. On the dusty floorboards, there were footprints. I stopped for a second and just listened, and I thought that I could hear the sound of breathing, but given my anxiety about the situation, I told myself that I was just hearing things. I started to make my way to the back of the loft, and then I froze. Sitting there, staring right back at me, was a dirty-looking man. My first thought was that a homeless man had found his way into the barn and was squatting in the loft. But before I could do anything, the man ran at me, passing by me, knocking me over. I heard him jump down to the ground and run out of the barn. However, before he hit me, I noticed it. It wasn't just some homeless dude. It was my uncle. Uncle Ron. I almost didn't recognize him, but I knew his eyes. But when he ran me over, I was clearly able to get a good look at his face. Instead of creating a scene, I calmly went down and told my aunt and uncle what had just happened. And they were outraged, but also very terrified. They were the ones who told Uncle Ron off all those years ago, and Ron had threatened them many times. The thought that he was squatting in the loft made my aunt turn as white as a ghost. It didn't take long for the entire party to hear what was going on. And the game of hide-and-seek had ended, but I continued throwing the ball around with the kids, trying to distract them. The police eventually showed up and we told them everything. We had no idea where to find Uncle Ron, but that didn't matter. They found him about an hour later, walking down the side of the road. And before the cop even approached him, he started to run. He didn't get very far. The officer apprehended him, and they actually found a large kitchen knife from my aunt and uncle's house on his person. I realize that this story may not be as scary for some of you, but put yourself in my shoes or even my aunt and uncle's shoes. Imagine going into a loft and being confronted by a strange man staring right back at you. Take that one step further and imagine you're my aunt and uncle. This man was living in their barn, and at some point, he was in the house because he had stolen the kitchen knife. Why else would he have needed that knife other than to use it on my aunt and uncle? He denies that, of course, but I saw that look in his eyes, and those eyes gave me the impression that he intended to do something downright evil.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Who's up for some spine-tingling campfire tales? I asked the group, but Spencer visibly recoiled at the suggestion. I think I'll turn in for the night, he replied, promptly rising from his seat and heading towards his tent. But Abigail wasn't having it. Oh, no, you don't. You're going to share a story first, she declared, playfully latching onto his arms and drawing him back to his spot. The rest of us chuckled at her antics. Spencer's unease was palpable as he revealed his reluctance. You guys don't understand, he said, his voice faltering. My grandmother used to tell me that whenever you tell ghost stories around a campfire, a creature known as the Story Eater appears and kills everyone. I don't want to be a part of this. In an instant, Frederick uttered a piercing shriek and frantically gestured towards Spencer's back, stumbling over his words as he spoke, Story Eater! Abigail, Spencer, and I were caught off guard, and our bodies instinctively jolted in unison with his sudden outburst. As we spun around to face the source of his terror, nothing was visible to the naked eye. However, our ears picked up on his and Kevin's boisterous laughter, and just as I was about to speak up, I caught a glimpse of the creature lurking behind them. I attempted to alert the others by pointing and raising my voice, but a lump formed in my throat, and my words got stuck. Thinking I was doing the same thing, they laughed before Kevin said, We are not going to fall for... Kevin swallowed his words as they felt something sharp on their necks and turned around only to see a terrifying man smirking as he looked at us. He held two sharp knives to their throat. His appearance was so horrifying that I couldn't even look at him again. It looked like someone had sewed his left eye with thick threads, and the other was unbelievably big and round, looking straight at us.
"Did I hear someone say campfire stories?"
His terrifying voice made us shudder from horror. I gulped as I could feel cold sweat beads forming on my forehead.
"Now, now, don't be scared. You won't die if you tell the tale."
His voice pierced through my ears, making me shake profoundly, while others were in the same state as me, as we all sat there frozen with fear. Spencer looked at me, and I could feel him say, "I warned you, didn't I?"
"Tell," he shouted at us, making us even more scared than we already were.
I'll tell, Kevin stuttered a reply before he started sharing. He then started telling the famous story about the Bedouin nomadic girl who lived with her tribe, and a ghoul fell in love with her. So, to be with her ghoul, he impersonated a human and started following her around until the girl noticed that he was a ghoul and not a human. The girl's aunt was a famous, influential woman in the tribe, so she convinced others to keep her niece safe, and they moved at night. But when they woke up the next morning, they realized the ghoul followed the girl even there, hiding in a pile of woods. The girl tried to run away from him, throwing her belongings at him to keep him at bay. He retreated for a while, but eventually returned and ate her heart.
"Interesting, but not good enough."
After saying that, he swung the knife at Kevin's neck and cut it away from his body, making all of us scream in horror. He then laughed maniacally and asked Frederick to tell another tale. He was so shocked and shaking that he couldn't utter a word and continued stuttering, irritating the monster. He stabbed Frederick in the neck as he looked at Abigail and me. After looking at what he did to Kevin, I couldn't think of any story that could satisfy him. My heart was racing so much, I feared it would jump out of my throat, and I was sweating like crazy. I know others were just as scared as me, but we had nothing that could save us from his monstrosity. We would die even if we tell the story. I didn't think we had any option from the beginning. I turned to see Abigail, who volunteered to tell another tale. She was trembling from head to toe as she started to tell the story of a woman whose house was west of the moon. If someone lost their way to the moon, she would lure them into her house, promising the weary travelers a good rest. She would then try to make them laugh, and if they did, she would jump at them. She would gut them with her knife and take out their liver and intestines to eat it. The only way they could escape her clutches was to eat their guts before she could get a chance to cook them. That way, their innards would return to their bodies. Her house is still said to be seen occasionally, and she still lures wanderers and eats their guts. The moment she finished her story, the monster of a man started laughing. Still, before he could do anything, Spencer spoke. "I want to tell a story. But nothing can be scarier than tonight when a man suddenly appeared and killed two of our friends in front of our own eyes." His voice was shaking as he said that. I don't know what he was thinking, but I heard the monster's laugh grow louder, only fading into oblivion. I lifted my gaze to see why it was so quiet.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And he was gone. Suddenly, Abigail started shaking me while calling out my name loudly while I looked at her in confusion. I blinked only to find myself surrounded by everyone, including Kevin and Frederick, whom I saw die before my eyes. What happened? You suddenly passed out, Frederick asked. I jolted up and looked around. That story eater was nowhere to be seen. I looked at Spencer, who seemed quiet, and said, I think we should turn in for the night. I'm sure everyone is tired. They all nodded their heads before heading to the tents.
There was nothing like the classic sleepover birthday party when we were kids. Everyone getting together, playing games, staying up late, you name it. The party landed on a beautiful day. There were 10 of us kids in total, and when we arrived, we all started playing basketball. Since we were planning on playing PlayStation 2 all night, we decided to play outside and play basketball during the day, since it wasn't raining or anything. We had a one-on-one tournament and played for quite some time. I don't know if kids still do this, but where we grew up, we pulled the hoop to the front of the house. We would have to get out of the road every time a car drove by, which wasn't that much. And while we were playing, we noticed this beat-up gray car drive by several times. Ordinarily, we wouldn't notice something like that, but because of the condition of the car and how many times he drove by, it was obvious. He didn't drive by us every minute either. It was every few minutes, so he wasn't just driving around the block before he would return and drive by again. By the fourth or fifth time of him driving by, we were starting to get annoyed. Finally, the last time he drove by, he stopped at the end of the street. We all looked for a moment, but we started playing again a few seconds later. And then he started to reverse, and that's when we all got a little weirded out. He reversed until he was right underneath our basket, and he rolled down his window. He was some gross-looking guy. I just remember him having this nasty skin with a bad comb-over haircut, and in this really squeaky voice, he just says, "Hey, fellas. You guys pretty good at basketball? I was actually on my way to the park to shoot some hoops, but I don't have a basketball. How about I borrow yours? You know, some of you guys can even come with me if you'd like. What do you say?" Now, I know this was bad news, and I didn't want anything to do with it. I looked at my friend and said that we needed to go inside now. And I implied that his mom wasn't going to be happy about us talking with a stranger. Most of us were quick to say no, realizing that this was a situation that we'd seen a million times talked about in school. A couple of friends were so naive that they didn't realize that this could potentially be a dangerous situation. I had to grab one of my buddies who was basically about to get into the passenger seat with the guy in one of our spare balls. We all started walking inside, even though the guy was still talking to us. The one thing I heard him say, and I remember it specifically freaking me out, was when he said,
"Oh, come on, guys. I won't even tell your parents. You won't get in trouble."
Even at that young age, I knew what this was, and I freaked out. We shut the front door, and I looked out the window. I saw the neighbor from across the street walk outside and started approaching the car, but he drove off before the guy could reach the car. My friends were mostly unfazed by this weird interaction, but I had the worst pit in my stomach about the entire thing. Close to dusk, my friends wanted to play hide-and-seek outside. I voted against the idea just because I didn't know if that sketchy guy was still lurking around, but I was outvoted. We played for a bit, and I eventually forgot about that dude. And when I was hiding, I was trying to find a spot where nobody could find me. I thought that I achieved that, but I was about to find out how wrong I was. Behind my buddy's fence was a narrow walkway between the back of his fence and the fence of the neighbor who lived behind him. All these houses had fences, so the walkway went almost the entire stretch of the street. I was hiding in this narrow walkway thinking that none of my friends would think to look behind the fences. And while I was leaning against one of the wooden beams, I heard footsteps on the thick grass. Since nobody mowed back there, the grass was pretty wild, and I looked down the path and saw someone walking in my direction, but it was just dark enough outside that I couldn't tell for sure who it was. When they got closer, I clearly saw who it was. It was the guy from the gray car, and he was approaching me with this big smile on his face. And in a voice a little louder than a whisper, he said,
"Hey, bud, how about that basketball? You guys don't seem to be using it now."
I kept saying sorry that I didn't have one, and I continued stepping in the opposite direction. I could hear him breathing and moving faster toward me the more I moved away. And if you're wondering why I wasn't screaming and yelling for help, the answer now is because I was stupid, I guess. I was for sure scared, and I knew that this was bad, but for some reason I remember being scared that if I yelled, it would somehow make things worse. I don't know why. This was just my logic in the moment. I started to move faster down the narrow walkway, and I could hear him moving even faster than before. I don't know exactly how close he was, but I could hear his breathing, and it felt like he was right on top of me. And then I heard a loud voice yell,
"Hey you, what are you doing? You know that kid?"
I just kept running. I heard the guy chasing me say something under his breath, and then he jumped over one of the fences. I ran as fast as I could and shouted for all my friends to meet me back in front of the house. The neighbor emerged from the narrow path and knocked on the door of my friend. He talked to his mom for a little bit, and then she made us stay inside for the rest of the night. I was happy, but some of my friends were upset. And nothing more happened that night, and I never saw that guy or that car again. It wasn't until I was much older that I realized how scary and horrible this could have been. It was scary then, but it didn't traumatize me. I just think as a child, I didn't understand the severity of the situation. Parents out there, just please watch your children. There truly are monsters hiding everywhere.
Around the cemetery. There was an old cemetery in a place with hills and dense woods. It was not just a resting place for the departed, but also a place full of stories and memories. This cemetery was special, holding the history of the town and the lives once lived there. When the sun set, the gravestones cast long shadows, and the cemetery seemed to wake up with a silent energy. Tom, a curious teenager who loved adventures, was often attracted to the cemetery. His friends warned him about the spooky atmosphere and stories of restless spirits, but Tom wasn't scared. He believed that the answers to the town's mysteries were hidden in the tales written on the worn tombstones. One dark afternoon, when the sky was covered with heavy clouds, Tom decided to finally explore the cemetery. As he went through the creaky gates, he felt a strange coldness in the air. Ignoring it, he walked on the narrow paths lined with old oak trees that stood like silent guards. The gravestones had the names of the town's founders, who built a life in the wild land. Tom ran his fingers over the writings, feeling the cool touch of the engraved words. Each name had a story of love, of sadness, of success, and of course, sorrow. Tom found an old mausoleum under a big willow tree. The stone walls looked old and had stories from a long time ago. Tom bravely opened the creaky door and went inside, feeling like he was stepping back in time. When Tom opened the door, a dusty smell came out, and it smelled like those old times. Inside, the dim light showed many crypts in rows. Each one had been there for a long time. Tom could feel the history in the air, connecting to the stories written on the stones. While looking around inside the dark, Tom found something surprising. A dusty old book, tucked away in a quiet corner. The cover looked old and hinted that there might be something special inside. As he carefully opened the pages, now yellow with age, he got lost in stories written by hand, telling the interesting history of Willow Creek. One story caught Tom's attention. The tale of Emily Turner, a young woman who had a sad end in the late 1800s. The writings told of a love that was not returned, a heart that was broken, and an early departure from the world. Tom was intrigued, feeling a connection to Emily's story, as if her spirit lingered in the air around him. With a newfound purpose, Tom set out to uncover the truth behind Emily Turner's early death. He talked to older town residents, searched through old records, and retraced the steps of the past. As he gathered the puzzle pieces, he found a story of love hindered by society's rules and a young woman's strength in tough times. Tom started going to the cemetery to visit Emily Turner's grave. He would sit beside it, telling stories and asking for advice. The longer he stayed, the more he felt a connection to the spirits. It seemed like the souls at rest found comfort in Tom's company, and the old stories turned into a gentle murmur that stayed with him during his journeys. One night, with the moon shining bright, Tom sat beside Emily's grave in the cemetery. A gentle glow surrounded the area, and the air seemed to shimmer with a magical light. To Tom's surprise, a see-through figure appeared. It was Emily Turner herself. Her eyes showed both sadness and gratitude as she spoke to Tom and told the story behind her death. Tom listened closely as Emily shared her memories, dreams, and the pain that kept her tied to the earthly world. In that surreal moment, a connection formed between the living and the departed, going beyond the limits of time and space. One day, as Tom sat by Emily's grave, he felt a subtle presence, and then he heard a faint voice. It was Emily's spirit. She shared with Tom the tragic story of her murder by her boyfriend. Tom, determined to seek justice, asked Emily if she knew where he could find a witness. Emily's spirit guided Tom to an old neighbor, Mrs. Johnson, who had seen the incident unfold. With newfound determination, Tom visited Mrs. Johnson and learned about the events leading to Emily's untimely death. Armed with this information, Tom decided to take the evidence to the authorities to bring Emily's boyfriend to justice and finally bring peace to her restless spirit. The last time when he met the spirit of Emily as dawn approached, Emily's figure started to fade, but not before leaving a message of hope and closure. She encouraged Tom to share her story with the world, showing that love, even when hindered by circumstances, could last beyond life. With a new sense of purpose, Tom worked to honor Emily's legacy. He wrote articles, organized community events, and shared the story of Willows Creek Cemetery with anyone willing to listen. The town, once wrapped in the shadows of forgotten stories, began to embrace its history and the spirits lingering on the cemetery's sacred grounds. As time went on, Willow Creek Cemetery changed from a place of whispers and darkness to a symbol of remembrance. People visited not because they were scared, but because they wanted to connect with the spirits that had shaped the town. The spirits, no longer burdened by untold stories, found peace as the living embraced the legacy they left behind. The small town of Willow Creek continued to thrive, and its cemetery became a living reminder of the power of stories, the strength of love, and the lasting bond between the living and departed. As the years passed, the cemetery's story became a cherished part of the town's identity.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Families would come to visit their ancestors' resting places, sharing stories and laughter under the shade of old oak trees. The cemetery, once a mysterious and solitary place, now echoed with the warmth of community and the enduring spirit of those who had lived before.
Chumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.